friends. Pastor Jim here with today's Light of the Word Radio, brought to you by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today I'm doing an interview with Brother Bill Askell. If you saw any of the information coming out of the Southern Baptist Convention, you saw Brother Bill brought a resolution on abolishing abortion. And if you listen to this program, you have heard us talk about abolishing abortion and the importance of serving God and doing as God would have us to do. And abolishing abortion is something He would have us to do. Brother Bill, as he brought this resolution forward, had many obstacles, he and those other men that were a part of it. But God, in His grace and His mercy, shined. And the Southern Baptist Convention closed with an abolish abortion resolution. Now, friends, this interview was done by phone, but the Bill is in Kansas at a youth camp. So some of the audio is a little jumbled, a little tough, but I think you can hear the gist of all of it as you go through. We'll jump in now with the beginning of my introduction to Brother Bill Askell from Oklahoma. I've known Brother Bill for about 20 years. I met him through Founders and have enjoyed the visits I've had with him over the years and look forward to sharing with you this information. Brother Bill, would you just tell us a little bit more about who you are so they know who we're talking to?
Okay. I'm a native of Beaumont, Texas, and the Lord saved me when I was 20, grew up in a home with a godly mother. Shortly after he saved me, then he called me to the ministry, so I finished up my education, my bachelor's at Lamar University in Beaumont, went on to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. I finished up my MBA, did my work on a B-Men, and then I've been pastoring, serving churches for about 45 years, I think. A big chunk of that was in Louisiana, and for the last 16 years, I've been a Bethel Baptist in Owosso, so I left Louisiana and came to Oklahoma. And then along the way, I've gotten involved with Founders Ministries. I'm back on the board at Founders, and most recently have gotten involved with the abolition movement in Oklahoma with pastors, policy makers. And that's what was kind of the genesis behind determining to write a resolution to bring to the Southern Baptist Convention. We were going to do it in 2020, but of course we didn't have a Southern Baptist Convention meeting in 2020. So it had another, I guess we started working on this in the late winter, early spring of 2020. So it had another year to germinate, and we believe made for a much stronger resolution. So that's my journey. I'm married 47 years, 5 children, 15 grandchildren.
Amen. Well, Brother Bill, I joined you in Oklahoma back in February of this year for the Abolish Abortion rally and conference that you had down there. And I enjoyed that greatly. I had already come to a understanding of the importance of abolishing abortion, but I tell you, that conference catapulted me into the middle of it. I came back, and
right,
the very next radio program we did was, in fact, the next sermon I did was on abolishing abortion. And we have talked about it many times since that conference on the radio. I was unable to attend the convention this year, but I watched it online, and I was very excited with the things that I saw. Some of it I watched later, but a lot of it I watched live. But I want you, if you would, tell us kind of how this came about. I know that the resolutions committee rejected the resolution from the floor.
What they did, Jim, is they chose not to present it. We submitted our resolution with 9 co-authors, and they just, if you look in the daily bulletins that are printed out on the daily bulletin on Tuesday, it had a little footnote there: a resolution on abolishing abortion submitted by Bill Askell declined, and that was they weren't going to bring it out. So we had prepared for that. We didn't really believe that the resolutions committee, even though I wrote them a pretty impassioned letter when we submitted the resolution, we did not believe that they would bring it out. And so we had a plan in place, had 7,500 copies of our resolution printed up in a little nice booklet format, 2,000 copies of a pamphlet, Are You an Abolitionist? And we had some people on the ground, a good ground game of folks standing outside in front of the convention center on Monday, passing these out. We distributed 700 of them to the folks who attended the Founders Ministries pre-conference, 1,000 of them to the Conservative Baptist Network breakfast on Tuesday morning. So by the time the messengers got in there, thousands of them had our resolution in their hands. That was not well received by convention officials. We actually had one of the convention people come outside and threaten to take one of our men's messenger credentials away because he was passing those things out in front of the convention. That he said to them, said, you're supposed to submit this as a resolution. He said, well, we did submit it. We're just making sure that the people get to see it. And he said, well, then you're strong-arming the resolutions committee by doing this. You know, we were undeterred. And so good, solid ground game. By the time the convention gets going, thousands of these folks have our resolution, no matter what the resolutions committee does. Sure enough, Tuesday morning, we see the bulletin, Tuesday bulletin, and there it is. They've declined to consider our resolution. So we already had in place a plan that if they brought it out seriously maligned and edited, that we would make a substitute motion to substitute our original resolution in place of the one that they brought out. If they didn't bring it out, that we would make a motion to overrule the decision of the committee, take a two-thirds vote of the messengers, and bring it out of committee. And that's what we ended up having to do. And the Lord was merciful. He blessed our efforts. The messengers were, as I said, a whole lot of them had seen this resolution, and they wanted to hear about it. They wanted it discussed on the floor of the convention. So for the first time, I've been going to Southern Baptist conventions for 42 years. For the first time in my memory, I've never seen a resolution brought out over the protest of the resolutions committee. So that was historic. First time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention that a resolution calling for the abolition of abortion has been considered. So it was quite a remarkable thing that God did. So when we voted to bring it out and they had to schedule a time, that was on 5:36 o'clock Tuesday when we finally got the vote and brought it out. So they had to schedule a time on Wednesday, originally said 3:30, for it to be heard and debated.
Now, to bring that back out, or to bring that out, what kind of a vote does it take? I mean, it's not a 50% vote.
It takes a two-thirds vote.
And I heard that it was more than two-thirds.
It was probably 90-95%, which is what the guys who were able to scan the room and watch it. I was not able to do that because I was engaged with the platform making our appeal. And that's another irony, by the way, Jim. I did not write the resolution. One of our pastors, Dusty Beavers, from Grace Community Church in Elgin, Oklahoma, was the prime author of it. And we all contributed and hammered on it and tweaked it and fine-tuned it and really beefed it up. He was the primary driver of it. He was the one supposed to present the resolution, but discovered at the last minute that there was some sort of conflict with their messenger status. He actually had to go to the convention in Nashville, go to the credentials committee and make an appeal that they would seat them as messengers. And so because of that, he could not submit. His church was not considered a church in good standing. It was just a glitch. It wasn't anything untoward on their part. So he passed it off to me to submit the resolution. Supposed to be the guy standing on the side at one of the other mics to speak for it. Dusty was the one supposed to be bringing the matter to the convention.
Well, I've met Dusty, and I have enjoyed visiting with him on this subject and hearing him preach. While we're on Dusty, just real quick, would you go ahead and tell us some of the others who were a part of putting this together?
Yes, let's see. I don't want to leave anybody out. You had Brett Baggett from Ecclesia Muskogee. Corey Anderson, who's also at Grace Community. I think some other elders at Ecclesia Muskogee. You had Russell Freed from Arkansas, David Hughes from Arkansas, some brothers from Texas, from Kentucky. So there was a whole lot of people, about 1,000 or 1,500 signed the petition online. There was about a dozen, 15 to 20 that actually met by Zoom over a period of time and hammered it out.
Now let's get to the resolution itself. Would you tell our listeners why abolishing abortion is so important, and that, and why our history of how we have tried to remove abortion has not worked?
That's a great question. The position calling for abolition of abortion is the only biblical position. We have seminary professors who are challenging us on this right now and have promised that they're going to come out with a document refuting our resolution, showing us how foolish it was, how dangerous it was. But when you go to the scriptures, it's very plain. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. He doesn't hate the shedding of most innocent blood. Or he doesn't hate the shedding of innocent blood up until there's a heartbeat detected, up until the unborn child. No, he hates the shedding of innocent blood. And when you come to that, and you come to the Sixth Amendment, you shall not murder, you shall not take the life of an innocent human being. It pretty well settles the issue. Of course, our very scholarly, sophisticated seminary professors of ethics will tell us that's being simplistic, but it's pretty simple. And the way we have argued it, Jim, is if we took their position, we call them incrementalists, and they want to little by little whittle back. If we took their position and applied that to slavery, there'd probably still be slavery today. And by the way, this abortion debate's been going on, coming up on 50 years. We're 48 years past Roe versus Wade, which was the iniquitous decree handed down by the Supreme Court. Another thing, the people talk like the Supreme Court's the law of the land. You hear that, well, Roe v. Wade's the law of the land. No, it's not. It's an iniquitous decision by 9 black-robed people. And folks don't seem to understand the division of government. Congress is the one that makes laws. And so it's the abolition position, I think, is the only one calculated for God to honor. God says in his word, him who honors me, I will honor. He who despises me, I will esteem lightly. We believe that God despises half measures. He despises partial judgments, and yet he will honor those who take the stand, as we've used our catchphrase, and Dusty was the one that came up with this, I believe, when we were working on this at the Oklahoma Baptist Convention. I said that we abolish abortion immediately, and Dusty said, and without exception or compromise. And so that's our tagline, abolish abortion immediately without exception or compromise. We believe that's the only biblical position to take. Now, the problem with the pro-life movement, I learned this the hard way. Years ago, I would have called myself a principled pro-lifer. This is back when I was in Louisiana Baptist Convention, working with the Louisiana legislature. Principled pro-lifer. In other words, we wanted to get a clean, no exceptions bill out of the Louisiana legislature. Well, I ran into people, as I was calling myself a principled pro-lifer, people who were pragmatic pro-lifers, and they would tell us, well, that just won't work. That's not going to stand up muster before the court, and on and on and on. And that was frustrating because we both called ourselves pro-life. And then I discovered the pro-life industry, the professional pro-lifers who raise millions and millions and millions of dollars in fundraising efforts, promising to lobby the legislature to end abortion. The dirty little secret, though, Jim, is that they are the biggest blockade to seeing abolition bills passed in state legislation. So I faced that, these professional pro-lifers who make their living doing it. And then the political, this was the last class, the political pro-lifer who is able to run for office time and time and time again, promising that if you put me in office, reelect me, I will end abortion. And let me say something, people are going to think I'm being harsh here. The pro-life industry, which uses professional pro-lifers and political pro-lifers, the pro-life industry has no intention of abolishing abortion. I said to somebody the other day, the pro-abortion industry makes its millions slaughtering as many babies as possible in the womb. The pro-life industry makes its millions promising to whittle away at abortion. Here's the thing. If abortion is abolished, both the pro-abortion industry and the pro-life industry shrivel up because their funding mechanisms go away. People don't think about that, but I'm telling you, I have seen it up close and personal in the Oklahoma legislature. The biggest blockade, the biggest hindrance to evolution bill, to see having a bill passed that would abolish abortion in Oklahoma, is Tony Lowinger and the National Right to Life Catholic Organization. Mm-hmm. So pro-life is, and I'm not saying everybody every pro-lifer is that way. They're sincere pro-life people. In fact, I've started making a distinction between the pro-life movement and the pro-life industry. I believe there are people in the pro-life movement who want to see abortion ended. I mean, I was one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we want to try to win the sincere pro-lifers who don't understand why it's taken 48 years past Roe, and we still have abortion. So we want to win them to the abolitionist position. And that, so this resolution at Sunday's convention was sort of sending our flag up the flagpole. And a lot of people that were not paying attention are paying attention now. In fact, so much so that there's a group of professors that are going to write a reputation. Southern Baptist Seminary professors are going to write a reputation of our resolution. And it said specifically that they're going to come after me, that they want to make an example out of me. Southern Baptists don't have the audacity to do something like this again without their permission.
Well, brother, aren't you glad that you know who your protector is?
Amen. Amen.
Now,
absolutely.
As I look at the resolution, I'm just so blessed. Every step of the resolution has the scripture that supports it. And any Christian, and I would say that includes these seminary professors we're talking about, that includes those who have stood against the abolition of abortion. I truly believe any Christian knows that it would be God's stand, or is God's stand, that abortion be ended, that murder be ended.
Amen.
One of the stumbling blocks many have had that I've talked to is part of abolishing abortion. We do talk about the fact that people need to be held accountable for murder. And so many have had an issue with that subject. Would you speak to that real quick here?
Sure. Most pro-lifers operate with what's called the two-victim theory, or the two-victim assertion, that when an abortion takes place, there are two victims. There's a child who's murdered in the womb. There's the woman who had the abortion. Well, there are certainly women who are forced to have abortion. Sex traffickers do that. Incestuous relatives do that. Wicked boyfriends do that. But the percentage of that is so, so minuscule. 90-95% of the women who have an abortion strut into the clinics. And if you've been on the front lines, the abortion mills, you've seen them. And so when you hear people talking about two victims, they're telling you, I haven't spent any time at the abortion mill watching this. These women going in there are not victims. They don't hesitate to curse you out, give you the middle finger, threaten your life, know exactly what they're doing. And so what we believe is, and the principle is equal justice, equal protection under the law.
Yes.
If you don't have that approach, then it's half measures in the sight of God, and he does not bless it. Equal protection, equal justice under the law for every human being, born and unborn. That's our position. That's the biblical position. The pro-lifers, they slice it up. And so we reject the idea that you treat the woman as a victim, generally speaking. There are those exceptions to that. And if she has murdered her baby, then she needs to be confronted with having murdered her baby and then offered the love of Jesus Christ, who forgives murderers and shows mercy. Yes. He's repentant murderer. People come up with all sorts of things. Well, then you're gonna put a woman away in prison for the rest of her life. No, we're not adjudicating this. We're taking the biblical position on these matters and standing on the scriptures, and then we'll let the courts, the prosecutor, the courts, the juries sort out the implication if indeed it comes to law. We're not in this. Southern Baptists for abolishing abortion and not writing law. We're trusting God to honor our feeble attempts to stand on his word. Him who honors me, I will honor. So that's the approach we're taking. Also, when people say to a woman, this happens all the time, Jim, you're not guilty. You cut the nerve of the gospel in the life of a woman like that. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And women who participate in an abortion need to be called out as having sinned against the holy God. Now, if the unpardonable sin, he will forgive. But when you tell her she didn't do anything wrong, she couldn't help it, it's not her fault, you have cut the nerve from the gospel. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, the sinners to repent. You could you paraphrase that, I didn't come to call the innocent, but I came to call sinners to repentance. And so I think that a lot of the pro-life industry is secular. It's driven by Roman Catholics, and they have a false gospel anyway. And so it's amazing to me that Southern Baptist ethicists would buy that line and insist on treating the woman as a victim as well. You've done her no favor because you take her out of the flow of God's merciful, loving forgiveness. Look, if you say to me, I forgive you, Bill, and I think, well, I don't know that I've sinned. What are you forgiving me for? I don't get forgiven. And that's what happens in the whole arena of a mother who is complicit in an abortion.
You know, Brother Bill, I've counseled with many women who have had abortions, and I have found that they are a victim, not as people would say like what you're talking about. They are a victim to being told that everything will be okay. I have never met one who had an abortion that it did not affect every part of their life for years.
Exactly. So, they don't get over it.
No, they do not. They don't get over it. They do not, I mean, not the, until the they repent.
You know, David lived home to glory, but his sin is costly.
Yes, absolutely. Now, our time's getting a little short, but I did have a couple more things I wanted to ask. One, I wanted to see if you could quickly address the amendment that was made to the resolution.
Yeah, the resolution has 810 words in its original form. A messenger proposed an amendment to add one word, and it was the word alone. Incrementalism alone, and what it did is it opened the door to suggest that we granted the legitimacy of incrementalism. He knew what he was doing, I think. He wanted to offer it as a friendly amendment. I'm not going to judge his motives, but if you understand the English language, you know exactly what you were doing. And I tried to dissuade the messengers from going down that path. And so that one paragraph is schizophrenic. And it talks out of both sides of its mouth. Because we reject incrementalism, and we won't use incrementalism alone. And so it's unfortunate. I wish, and I blame myself for this, I should have made a more cogent argument against his proposed amendment, and I did not do that. So I told the guys we were having a debriefing. I said, that's on me. On me. I should have done better. It all happened in God's providence, and so we'll receive it, but we maintain that when you read the entirety yes. of the resolution, the word alone almost looks like a typo.
It doesn't
fit the tone or tenor of anything else in the resolution. So it's unfortunate, but then again, someone called me and said, how could they amend your resolution? I said, well, you know, this is Southern Baptist policy. You put it out there, and it's up to the messengers to decide whether they want to accept it, reject it, change it, whatever.
All right. As we close this up, let me just ask you, share with our listeners what they can do to get involved with abolishing abortion, first with their church and in their community.
Oh, great. Great question. I would reach out. Go to Facebook, Southern Baptists for Abolishing Abortion, our Facebook page. Reach out. Say that they can say, you know, we heard Bill Askell, and we want to get involved. So they need to connect with the Southern Baptist abolitionists to remove this name. Another thing, I would also go to freethestate.org, and then Brett Baggett, one of our pastors in Muskogee, Oklahoma, has a site, rescuethose.com. I'd check out those sites and reach out, and we can get you plugged in. Here's what we want to do. We want churches to adopt this resolution in its original form, not a little one-word amendment. We want churches to adopt this resolution. We want associations to adopt this resolution. We want state conventions to adopt this resolution. We want to keep pushing the conversation of abolition, and then we will just keep moving the needle until it is a topic taken up. My prayer would be that these ethicists who are opposed to us right now would come to stand with us, become our allies in the cause of abolishing abortion. Let me tell you something. We've been told in Oklahoma that if the Oklahoma Baptist Convention gets behind abolishing abortion, it'll happen in Oklahoma because the Oklahoma legislature has a healthy respect. Fear is probably too strong a word. Has a healthy respect for the Oklahoma Baptist Convention and its constituents. And so that's what we're looking to do. And I would encourage that. Southern Baptists for Abolishing Abortion, Facebook page, Southern Baptist for Abolishing Abortion.com, freethestates.org, and then rescuethose.com. Reach out to those places. If folks want to write me on our church website, Bethelowasso.org, I think, or .com, we can connect them. Okay. And we want to build a network. One of my goals is to have a Southern Baptist for Abolishing Abortion chapter in every state convention, in the Southern Baptist Convention.
Amen. Let me give one more resource there. If someone is listening and they're here in our area, in the state of Kansas, we have a ministry that is not just Southern Baptist here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and it is aimkansas.org is the website.
Right.
And we would invite you to go to that site as well and see the information. We'd be glad to come alongside you and show you those things that we see and that are going on, and show you the scripture and help you to take that back to your own church. And again, that doesn't matter what denomination. We believe that this is not a Southern Baptist issue. This is a issue that Christians have to stand for the gospel, for the glory of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're two states away
Thank
from home
reading,
right
yeah.
now. We will we'll look forward to visiting with you again real soon.
Yes, we will. God bless you, Jim.
You take care, my friend.
Well, friends, it is our sincere hope that God has pierced your heart to stand for the rights of the unborn. And we hope that this program was beneficial to you and give you some direction and place to go with that. One thing with the aimkansas.org site, it is aimks.org. Aimkansas. aimks.org. That's our local one here. And then these other resources that Brother Bill told you about. Please get involved. Be a part of the front line on saving the lives of innocent children in the womb. Thank you for listening to our program. And here's Brother Eugene to tell you how you can be involved with Light of the Word Radio or send us your feedback. Until the next time we speak, Sola Deo Gloria.
We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.